So today, we're going to write the sermon together. So here's my prayer for today. May the words of my mouth and the words of all our pencils, may the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So as my husband was opening his Christmas present from me, he arched a skeptical eyebrow and asked, "Is this a task gift?" See, in an effort to appeal to my husband's practical and efficient nature, I have a tendency to give him gifts that are, you know, aspirational, the kind of gift that, like, helps you along where you want to go. And he's learned that about me, and he calls them task gifts. And the thing is, there's kind of two ways a task gift can land, right? The first way is you feel seen and supported by someone you love on a journey you're on. The second way is that you feel like you're not enough the way you are right now. And I hope if you've given or received a task gift recently, that it landed for you that first way, that you felt loved and seen and supported. We talk a lot about gifts in church, don't we? We talk a lot about gifts. We have a central part of our liturgy called the offertory, where we collect gifts and bring them forward, gifts of bread and wine and money, and we bring them forward and we return them to God. We return them to the divine. And in some ways, it's a short journey, right? But the journey that the wise men made too, returning gifts to God. And gifts, there's a reason we talk about gifts a lot in church, because it's one of the most human and most ancient ways of connecting with one another, of expressing love to one another. Giving and receiving gifts freely and gratefully is an act of faith and worship. And there's another way we talk about gifts in Christianity. We talk about spiritual gifts. Paul writes about spiritual gifts like teaching and preaching. And in every Episcopal confirmation, the bishop calls upon the sevenfold gifts of the Spirit from the book of Isaiah. The gifts are wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and awe of the divine. We call upon them and bless the confirmands in the name of that gift-giving Holy Spirit. And these gifts, when we recognize them in ourselves, these spiritual gifts, that's when we can then give them back and use them for a purpose. God gives them to us in order to give them to the world, to use them for reconciliation and love. I'm wondering if any of you have heard the joke about the wise women. There's a cartoon version of this. Okay, so it goes like this. Like, after the wise men come, baby Jesus, the wise women come, and they bring gifts of formula and diapers and casseroles. So in that, the wise women are wise because they're giving gifts that meet baby Jesus where he is right now, a hungry, stinky, demanding infant. Okay. The original gifts, the gifts of the Magi, were gifts that pointed to the baby's holy destiny, right? The gold for his royalty, his kingship, the frankincense for his priesthood, his divinity, and the myrrh for his martyrdom. They pointed to what Jesus is and was becoming for us toward his destiny, right? So two gifts, the practical here and now, who you are right now, and the gifts that are who you are growing and becoming and reaching toward. My first confirmation, which was in the United Church of Christ, the congregational tradition, this is where the pastor can confirm you herself. My pastor, my childhood pastor, had this great tradition where she would name three adjectives she saw in you and a spiritual gift she saw in you in your confirmation service. And I remember as a 13-year-old feeling so seen by that. It was such a special moment. And I also remember worrying, I'm not as good at all that. Do I really have that gift? And that reaction, I see that, it's so familiar because I see it all the time in people I pastor. That particular mix of feeling loved and special and inspired. And that reaction, I see that, it's so familiar because I see it all the time in people I pastor. That particular mix of feeling loved and special and inspired and worrying, is that really me? Is that really true? Do I really live up to that? Coaching people to see in themselves spiritual gifts is a key piece of the work of being a pastor, being a spiritual director, being a friend, being a Christian friend. And it's a tricky balance, right? Because on the one hand, it can be helping someone discover their full potential, what God is calling them into, the gifts that are still growing and becoming inside them. And sometimes what's most important is to say to a person, the gift of who you are right now is full and enough, and God loves you right the way you are. And whichever emphasis is right, that recognition of those spiritual gifts is the first step we need to take before we give those gifts to God and to others. So today, you are going to finish the sermon for me. You each have a star and hopefully a writing implement. And here's your task. Your task is to take a moment to think of a gift. Think of a gift, a special spiritual gift that you'd like to offer back to God in some way this year. This could be a gift you've known about yourself, one that others have identified in you, one that you're actively learning to cultivate. Or it could be a gift you're still reaching for, a gift you hope that God will strengthen in you, even if you don't quite feel like you have it yet. This gift might be patience, enthusiasm, willingness to work hard. I have seen those gifts in spades in this parish. Or it could be more like a skill, like singing, or writing, or building repair. Whatever that gift is, I'd like you to write it down on your star. And during the offertory moment, our children are going to come around and collect those stars, our children and wise people among us. And they're going to process those gifts up with all our other gifts, up to the creche, and lay them at the infant Jesus. And in doing this spiritual act together, we are thanking God for the gifts we've received, and we're promising to use them for God's purpose this year, offering them back to God. And before you start hemming and hawing about which gift to choose, I want to leave you with two more thoughts. One, if this practice is hard for you, if you're sitting here thinking, I don't have any gifts or my gifts feel all used up, come talk to me. Two, in a moment, we're going to sing together one of my favorite Christmas carols, In the Bleak Midwinter. It's based on a poem written by Christina Rossetti from 1872. At the end of the poem, the poet looks around and she worries about what she has to offer the baby Jesus. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give him my heart. What matters most is not that the gift we give is better or worse than what others can give. What matters is that it is precious to us, and therefore it is precious to God.